Welcome to the Church at South Edmonton's podcast. We hope you're encouraged and inspired to seek Christ through the message today.
We'll give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him and sing his praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let your hearts rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. And remember the wondrous works. Remember the wondrous works. Father God, we just thank you for what you have done today, moving in the hearts of your people, Lord. As we fully surrender to you, God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would land, that it would just, that we would continue to soak in, even as we head into the word, Lord. That hearts would be softened to hear your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Like I said earlier, my name is Chantel. I'm one of the volunteers here at the church at South Edmonton. And this morning I was expecting that I would be introducing Pastor Martin to our congregation as he has been set in as our new head pastor. And I have some good news, but I have some bad news. And the bad news is, well, wait, do you guys want the good news first or the bad news first? The good news. Oh, okay, so the good news is me. It's me. Hi. You guys are too kind. So the good news is that I have had a message prepared for such a time as this. So I'm happy to fill in today, last minute. The bad news is that Pastor Martin and his daughter, Deborah, were unfortunately held up in their travels. And he sends this message that I'm going to read. He says, "Hi, Case family. I am so sorry that I can't be with you today, but canceled flights made our 12-hour journey became a two-day journey, and we arrived very late and jet-lagged. I am so disappointed because I am very excited to speak about this new season for everyone. I will be starting at Case next week, and I will be with all of you next Sunday. I know that God has brought us together and has had great plans, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of you again very soon and getting to know everyone. The best is yet to come." Yes. Signed, Pastor Martin. So he did make it in very, very, very late last night. And I want to take this opportunity to give honor to all of the people here at Case who made his journey possible and who made his arrival enjoyable, even into the late hours. So if you don't know, we have a huge team of very generous volunteers, and everyone pitched together this week. So I do want to list off, if you guys are okay with it, a couple of people I just want to recognize. Rhonda, I know you were a realtor, and I know you get paid, but she also stocked the fridge with some fresh produce upon his arrival. Joey, I don't know where Joey is, but when I walked into the house, I could smell the bleach. Joey was on her hands and knees cleaning the house for his arrival. And Sherry, I don't know where Sherry went, Perry and Sherry, they had orchestrated the arrival of his vehicle to be in the garage. And Sherry had been pulling all of the strings behind the scenes to ensure that everyone had the keys and the codes to get in. And Perry came in and he was even fixing things up in the garage. And Terry and Maxine, you guys, like, Maxine just kind of took the bull by the horns and she said, I'm going to get them beds and I'm going to get them bedding and towels and so that they could wash their faces and have a shower this morning when they got home. So there are so many other people. Oh, Derek and Nathan, you guys even took a van and you moved furniture temporarily into their house so that he had a place to sit. So I just want, can you guys just give a round of applause to everyone who helped? And there's so many other people. If I missed you, I am so sorry. But I have to say that this whole morning and this service and how this is happening, I do believe that even though you probably came here hoping for a word from Pastor Martin, I do think that this is by design. This is why. I think you are getting an opportunity to see Case's DNA, to see what this church is like prior, because we have been thriving for years, and we are a church that is built on the backs of volunteers, people who have been giving of their time, their energy, their resources, their finances, their gifts. So I just want to give you an opportunity to see what we are like, and then to see how Pastor Martin is going to fit into the mold. We're really excited for this. Another housekeeping announcement. I'm sorry I started talking too soon, but I should have said that the children are released for kids ministry. And Ireland had a special announcement that today our Dreamers class is open for the first time this year. So if your child is between the ages of 6 months to 2 years, that's a new class. We have enough volunteers to open another classroom. So you can check in your child at the counter and Ireland will be happy to receive you. Okay, well, before we get started, I do want to, Pastor Martin's message. So do you want to put up Brennan the slide if you haven't already? Teamwork makes the dream work. So late last night around 5 p.m., I guess that's not really that late. I'm a little old. I heard it. So late last night, when we found out that Pastor Martin was going to be delayed, we kind of started scrambling for a speaker, and my husband, Jeremy, like, he put it out to the text message, and he said, hey, guys, like, Chantel can preach, no problem. So shout out to my supportive king for helping me. But if I'm being truly honest, I am a girl that likes to be prepared. So about a couple months ago, this message was placed on my heart, and I kind of took a couple of rough notes, so I wrote it down, and I just thought I'll put it in my pocket, and I'll save it for a day when I need it. So today's that day, and funny enough, Pastor Martin's title for his message that he was going to preach today was Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. So I thought, let's throw that up and see how close I am to hitting the nail on the head. Come on. All right. Father God, I just pray that you would be with us today, that your message would go down deep, Lord God, like a seed. We just ask that you would water it, that it would grow great fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so turn with me, if you guys have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 9:35. And when you are there, just poke your neighbor and say, I think I want to join this team. Matthew 9, verse 35. If you have your Bibles on your phones, you can, what did Pastor Andrew say? He said, poke your way there. Just tap, tap, tap. Okay. Then Jesus, oh, and by the way, I'm reading from the ESV version, which is the Lord's version, if you ask me. And if you just, like, I'm happy we can argue about it, but when we get to heaven and we stand before the Lord, he's going to say, I was right. Okay, so Matthew 9:35-38. Then Jesus went into all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest." Jesus was moved with compassion for them. So the first thing that stuck out to me as Jesus encountered the depth of the human need, his heart and his soul were moved with compassion. And it really made me look at myself and say, when I am meeting these needs, I need to be just as moved as Jesus was. We need to have a compassion for those who don't yet know Jesus. And I say yet because I'm hopeful, but it should really tug on your heart and move in your soul to the deepest of your being. Jesus saw this big need as an opportunity. He didn't see it as something that dragged on him and weighed him down and, oh, I gotta pull myself out of bed and I gotta go help people. No, the harvest is a good thing, you guys. But a harvest doesn't get done unless there are laborers. Opportunities can be wasted due to a lack of people. Jesus is warning us that these opportunities to meet a human need and bring more people into the kingdom could be wasted because of a lack of willing people. We need to recognize that we are the workers. Now, Case, and I'm so happy to showcase our church, but we have a really unique DNA because the statistic is, right, Kelly, that 20% of people in the church do 100% of the work. That's the statistic. However, in Case, we have 80% of the people doing all of the work, and the other 20% just haven't caught on yet. Give yourselves a hand. So since the harvest belongs to the Lord of the harvest, we're commanded to pray that he would compel workers to reap his harvest. And I thought, this is so weird. The disciples are like, hey, we need people. Like, there's so much work to do. Jesus is like, recognize the need. There's so much to do. And then Jesus goes, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to pray for people. Does anyone else think that's odd? So, but the funny thing about prayer is that it usually changes your own heart. So often we are praying for people to come and help. But don't be surprised when you hear the Holy Spirit say, "I pick you." So to quote Spurgeon, who is one of the greatest theologians, he says, "It takes great power to drive a devil out, but we need equal power from God to drive a minister into his work." So listen to this. As much as you are praying about those ugly attacks, now we need to start thinking that we need to pray just as hard to support the hands and the feet of Jesus. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. This is a prayer that we must pray, but we can only pray it honestly if we are praying with an open ear to hear the Lord say, "You go into the harvest." Come on. I feel like I always pull the shortest straw to preach the hardest messages. But you guys, I'm saying this because I'm preaching to a church who already gets this. So let's ask yourself honestly, have you been praying for the workers? And if you haven't, I want to encourage you to start. And don't be surprised when you pray this honest prayer and the Holy Spirit says, let's get busy. Yeah. Jesus tells them to pray for the workers. And I want to show you something interesting that happens in the next chapter. So if you guys would just turn to Matthew 10, verse 1. It's just the next page over. Now, I realize that the Bible may not be in chronological order, okay? But for kicks and giggles, let's just pretend that this is exactly what happened after he told them to pray for the harvest. So verse 1, and he called them, his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and affliction. Then the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, now go among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, so now give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborers deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on this day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for that town. Okay, so Jesus said, pray for the workers. And then he turns around and he says, I select you 12. Go. He immediately appoints and commissions them and sends them out into the field to work. But Jesus didn't just send his disciples on their way without preparing them. They had seen him preach. They had seen him heal. They had seen him cast out demons. And he gave them very specific instructions on what to do and what to say and how to behave. He didn't just send them out to preach, but he endowed them and equipped them with power and authority to do what they needed to do. Jesus demonstrated, then he delegated. So I want to first point out the listing of all these names. Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, James, John, the list goes on. Why is that important? I think it's important because it is showing the list of diversity within his group. We are not all the same. We all carry different gifts. We all are very unique. And we have a saying that we like to say here at Case, diversity is our strength, unity is our power. So it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter what you did in the past, it doesn't matter what you said last night. If Jesus is calling you, he will equip you. I don't want you to underestimate what you bring to the table. So he gave them power to do what they needed to do. I think the equipping may not necessarily be evident at that time, but if you have faith and you trust in God, the equipping will be then revealed evident along the way. I just have to say that part of what we do here at the Church of South Edmonton, if you're new here, we have a speaking team. We believe in equipping the saints. We see someone who holds great value and talent, and we know that they've been given the word of God on their hearts, like fire on their tongue. So we grab those people, and we like to just kind of mine out the gold. Brush off that coal. And I am a product of being on the speaking team. I fall under the leadership here at the church at South Edmonton, and I have been mentored and perfected. I know you guys are like, wow, she's so great. It's true, because I have such great leadership and a supportive husband. But we believe, I never would have thought that I would ever stand on a stage and speak to people. This was never in my playbook at all. But I said yes to God, and I said yes to the people who saw that in me. And now I'm continuing to help more people along the line, because guess what? When this generation dies off, we're going to need more younger people to continue to carry and build God's church. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you can give applause for that. Thank you, Shelby. So the sending out of Jesus' disciples or the apostles, that was a way of expanding the territory of the church. Okay, Jesus toured around the region of Galilee, teaching and preaching and anointing and the apostles. But then when he sent them out, that was a marker. That was a marker of growing the kingdom. He's like, let's expand our territory. Okay, we're going to plant another campus. Okay, we're going to put more chairs in the building. Okay, we're going to go to two services. We're expanding our territory. What does that look like for us, realistically? What would it look like if we start pushing out on our streets? Okay, I'm going to start calling out the communities around our church. Strathcona, Ritchie, Bonnie Doon, Park Allen, Garneau. Come on, I'm saying these out loud, you guys, because I'm being intentional that we're coming for our city. And our city is going to know Jesus. And I just want to shout out to Derek Koop. I don't know if he's in the service right now. He's probably out serving in kids ministry. What a guy. He's our youth ministry leader. And he had this vision for a community drop-in center. This was laid on his heart. And this past week, he launched CYC, Case Youth. Do you guys know what it is? Case Youth Connection. Gracie's got my back. So this week he launched on Wednesdays after school is a drop-in center for any youth-aged kid in our community who needs a place to go after school before their parents get off work. And he has expanded his territory bigger than the halls of this church, you guys. And we are going to be reaching the youth of South Edmonton, of North Edmonton, of West Edmonton, of East Edmonton. I am believing that we are targeting these children, and Jesus is going to change the lives of youth in our city. Amen. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 9. And when you're there, just tap your neighbor and say, I feel called to kids ministry.
Nice try.
I thought thought I was being prophetic. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 9. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. He who plants and he who waters are one. And each will receive their wages according to their labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. So when a farmer plants a seed and waters it, he's not the one who makes it grow. It's the miracle of life. It's God's creation. All the farmer can do is create the right environment and trust in the miracle of life. I believe that ministering is the exact same principle. Furthermore, a seed that isn't watered isn't going to grow. And ground that is watered, but a seed isn't planted, isn't going to produce any fruit. So what I'm trying to say today is that in regards to all these areas of ministry, every single one is important. The one who plants, the one who nurtures, the one who waters, the one who provides the good environment, that is all important. Every single person has a job, and we all work together as a team to make sure that our environment is producing good fruit. The parking attendants, the ushers, the people that light the candles, the worship team, kids ministry, hospitality, greeting, facilities, shoveling the sidewalks. Don't underestimate what you do for the kingdom. It's all very important. So now we're just going to flip back to Matthew. And this is the final scripture I'm sharing. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. You can turn there. And when you're there, you can say to your neighbor, I think I should join the greeting team. Okay, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now, the 11 disciples, there's 11 because Judas, you know. So now the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. This is after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And this is before he's ascending into heaven. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. This isn't a suggestion, this is a command. He's commanding them, go and make disciples of many nations. His authority sends us. His authority guides us. His authority empowers us. And just note that Jesus said go to a very imperfect group of people. Peter, the rash, the headstrong, will slice off the ear of a soldier. John, the one who would rather just call down fire on the earth and kill all the people. Philip, the one who has spent so much time with Jesus, yet still doesn't really know him. Thomas, the one who doubts. Outside on our walls, it says there's no perfect people allowed. Because all people sin fall short of the glory of God, but we know that there's forgiveness when we come to Jesus, and we know that his grace is enough, and we know that through him, we can do all things according to his word. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your education. I don't really care what you do for work. It doesn't matter your experience. The master says, go. All power has been given unto me, therefore I give it to you. Go into all the nations. There isn't a place on earth where the gospel should not be preached and disciples should not be made. We, by saying yes to Jesus, we've been justified. We have been declared legally saved, legally made righteous by no efforts of our own. We have done absolutely nothing to deserve this. We can do nothing to earn it. Jesus, by his blood, has saved us and made us righteous and has made us whole. So now, and you may have heard this before, comes the sanctification. The working out of your righteousness. But sanctification takes effort and discipline. So before, you did nothing to deserve it. You did nothing to earn it. Now, let's get busy. Let's get to work. Because we've already been made whole. We're saved. And it is your efforts that show your change of heart to the world. Your efforts, your serving, your dedication, your principle, your wisdom, that is a testimony to your neighbor. So I'm going to call the band back. I can hear them rustling around. And I want to give you guys an opportunity today to respond to a call for action. So I just want to ask you, will you, and you don't have to respond, you can respond quietly in your heart, but will you commit to praying for the harvesters? Will you commit to helping us expand the territory of our church? Will you commit yourself to the harvest? And just realistically, if you want to be discipled and you're looking for a church to be discipled under, I want to encourage you to sign up today to get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, sign up today to be baptized. If you were listening to the announcements, the sign-up sheet is at the hub. After the service, there's a sheet on the desk. If you want to commit to joining a ministry area here in Case, I want to encourage you to sign up for our Next Steps classes. Next Steps classes is where you find out what we believe, how we got here, helps find your fit at our church. And it's the next step of saying, yeah, you know what? I want to make Case my home church. Again, sign up for the Next Steps classes. They are, the list or the sign-up sheet is at the hub outside the doors. If you're new to this church or you just said yes to Jesus, I want to encourage you to join our Bible study. Thursday nights, 6 o'clock dinner, 6:30 the word. There's no better way than to just start in the Word of God with other people who love God. And if you're sitting here and you see a need for ministry, you see a need for an area that's underdeveloped, maybe that's God putting that responsibility on your heart. It's so easy to say, oh, I wish that worship was different, or I wish the kids' ministry was different. I don't like the way they do food here. Well, it's free, first of all. But instead of complaining, that could be the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you know what? I'm putting this on your heart for you to take the bull by the horns. I'm putting this on you to grow because this is the lane you've been planted in. So if that's you today, you guys can just stand to your feet as we close. I want to pray a blessing over our church, over the 80% of people who have just dug their heels in, made this place successful, made this place their home. And if you're the 20% that you're like, you know, I heard what you said today. I hear what God is speaking over my heart. I see the areas that I could be useful in, that I could be helpful in. If that's you, just hold out your hand. I want to pray a blessing over you today. Father God, I just thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that you had given him all authority and power, and that we are your image bearers, and that we have been given that authority and power in turn, Lord God, to push out on the territory of our streets, to make your name known, to share your goodness, to facilitate your church, to be your hands and your feet. Amen. Father God, I just pray a blessing over your people who are so faithful, Lord God, that it does not go unnoticed, and the Lord will repay his laborers their due wage. And God, I just pray for anyone new here, anyone that's thinking about making this their home, anyone that's looking for a place where they fit, Lord God. We just welcome them with open hands, with open arms. We just pray like right now, God, that you would speak to them, that you would just settle that peacefully in their hearts, that they would feel it and they would just know it's right. Just thank you for your people, Lord God. And we just ask today that you would go with us, that you would bless our weeks, bless our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so grateful for our worship team. Can you guys just give them a hand? Perry and Sherry, the rest of the team, you guys are just the best. So, what do you guys think? Teamwork makes the dream work. Did I hit the nail on the head? I think it would be really funny if next week Pastor Martin comes, and he preaches the exact same message, but in like a Scottish accent. It'd be so funny. I'd be like, Pastor Martin, you took my message, you little stealer. So before you guys go, we have a tradition here at Case. We leave you with a priestly blessing. If you know it, hold your hands out. You can say it with me. If you don't know it, I just want to bless you with this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Everybody have a great week. And next week we try again. Pastor Martin is coming to Case.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this week's message, click subscribe. And if you'd like to check us out in person, check our website for times and location at thechurchse.com. Have a great week.